You're listening to Leaf Filter Radio, and the guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Counihan, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions.
Hey, everybody, Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have leaf filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A Leaf Filter Trusted Pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install Leaf Filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, Leaf Filter Trusted Pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/day to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
That's leaffilter.com/day for your free gutter inspection today. See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.
G'day everyone, and welcome once again to the Super Footy Podcast. I'm Anthony Hudson, another massive round of AFL footy. So much to talk about, hard to know where to start. Mick Warner, lovely to see you.
Hello.
You feeling happy?
Yeah, not too bad. I wanted to start by congratulating Pakistan and the winner of the US Open Golf, who I was going to announce, but now I found out that you've recorded it, which is ridiculous in this day and age. And we can't tell you who won and picked up the $2.16 million US first prize.
The other voice you heard there was Lauren Wood. I had a lot on last night and this morning, and I love my golf. I wasn't going to be able to watch it properly, and I know the Aussies were all out of contention, so I just wanted to watch it tonight if I can.
That's not going to happen.
So I've taped it, and when you talk about whatever you need to talk about, just let me know, and I'll block my ears. So, hello, Loz.
Hello, boys. Great to be back again. I'm just interested to hear how you do this, Hutto, in this day and age with Twitter
news.
And radio, and do you sort of flick over to the FM as soon as the hourly news comes on? How does it
Well, I've got a very, very busy day. We just slotted in the footy podcast, and I don't think many people will be talking about the US Open this afternoon. So I reckon I can avoid it successfully.
Except for us. All right.
We'll move on and we'll spare you spoiling it for you.
Okay, that's very nice of you. Very
but
kind.
16 under was the number.
16 under. Okay, it's a pretty familiar total to me when I play. let's talk about the footy, and we have a choice here. We can start with the positive or the negative.
Half full
of demons or half empty the Bulldogs. What do you choose, Loz?
Yeah, I'm going for the half full.
Right.
It's a positive.
Well, you won't last long in this industry.
We're back to a full week of footy. Let's go with the positive.
Well, what an unbelievable performance by Melbourne. Comprehensive. Dogs got all fired up both at the start and just before half time, but Melbourne just quashed them, and they gave very little after half time. The Western Bulldogs, but it's all smiles for Melbourne, isn't it?
Instagram is the new weapon in football. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, isn't it? I think everyone will be checking Tom Bugg's Instagram story before every game, of course.
What is that, by the way?
I think it's a bit sort of Snapchat-esque, but doesn't disappear, so it's sort of a live-action video. I'll explain it to you later. But, an interesting one. I don't think even Jack Watts knew what he was getting himself into. But you were boundary side, and I don't think the Dogs are too happy about
it. No, they were actually surprised. I mean, the first thing I'm going to say about this is you've got all these people on social media saying, oh, the media, how they bag him. Can you find one person who's actually bagged him? It was a story because obviously it exploded on the field and they got a goal out of it.
But it was also a story because this hasn't happened before.
Exactly.
I think that was quite a reasonable story.
I'm not sure who they're criticising.
No. I think everyone. I think
it's probably a stupid thing to do. I thought at the time, but it's a talking point.
Yeah, I mean, I was with Robert Murphy just before the game.
Fake outrage.
and when he was being told about it, and he was like, "Really? Wow!" So there was an incredulity about it, if that's a word.
Yeah.
But it worked.
But he backed it up, didn't he? That's the thing.
And he got a goal out of it, and
it clearly rattled. Well, it affected the Bulldogs because they came out and chased and Wood charged him and later on gave away a free kick.
Ironically, I think that's the word, it triggered the only real passage of a quarter this year where they played with that, or not this year, but that real intensity that was their hallmark last year before halftime. It was on. It was like a 1970s VFA game. It was seriously exciting. But they weren't able to maintain the rage.
No, they weren't. I thought
a good side.
At the start of the game, they actually had intensity. They just, as Bevo said post-match, they couldn't complete their plays. They couldn't get the ball to a man properly inside 50. And then after that, it was just domination by Melbourne. And I guess it does raise the question, as a few people have discussed, about just how good Melbourne are and where they can go from here, and how, with the big fella Maxi Gawn coming back, and then
next week,
Jesse Hogan in 2 to 3 weeks. It poses a selection query. First of all, does Cam Pedersen stay in the team? But how good can Melbourne be this year?
Gee, they're absolutely right up there at the moment, aren't they? They're a really good football side. I feel for Cam Pedersen a little bit. I don't think he deserves to lose his spot. But as you said, we've got to fit Gawn in. We've got to fit Jesse Hogan in. I think if they can maintain this, who knows? They're young. They're excited. They've got great options in the forward line. They're really good defensively. Michael Hibberd performing really strongly.
They could do a Dogs this year, you think?
Well, I wouldn't rule it out.
Cool.
Well, that was going to be my...
Potentially,
my Is It Just Me was going to be about Michael Hibberd. Is he the recruit of the year?
Well, he's very good, isn't he? He's probably going the best of all those Band Bombers. He's in the conversation.
Yeah, I mean, and he's just... Simon Goodwin's got them just playing, you know, that pressure sort of footy, hasn't he?
And
that,
a harder edge.
They're getting the ball. I mean, I think he won the tactical battle. It was a very tactical game. He won the tactical battle yesterday. The ball lived in the Bulldogs' forward line for a lot of periods in that first half. The way we saw a lot of games in the weekend, some strains, but just huge numbers around the ball and then all this space. And it meant when the Dogs won it in their forward half, they couldn't have any room to kick a goal. Melbourne got it, ran it down and caused trouble. So it was very effective.
The way Melbourne are shaping, and if Rockett was to lose his job at the Suns, does it make Paul Brews the obvious candidate to do what he did at Melbourne, not go there as on a long term, but just go there as a Mr. Fix-It?
Yeah.
He's the ambassador type. He's got a big name. Mm. And he had some critics.
Proof's in the pudding, isn't it?
He's given Goodwin a pretty good grounding.
He has. I mean, yeah, if Ruzzi would be up for it, obviously he wouldn't come cheap for a club to do.
What would he cost, do you think? 1.5?
Yeah, at least, I would have thought.
At least.
Well, I mean, his family moved to Melbourne. He's got a new house. He's ensconced there. You know, like, it would take a fair bit to get him to move up to the Gold Coast. Mm. So I don't think Ruzzi would do it.
Right,
but
okay.
A bit more Hawaii-esque.
Yeah, it's
closer to Hawaii, isn't it?
Yeah, I would have thought a couple of hours would be shaving off. But they're just so confident now, too, and wins like yesterday. I think I saw Jack Watt speaking after the game on Fox Footy, and he sort of was just so excited. And said, we just haven't been part of wins like this. And I think to have that grounding that Ruzzi has created, and now the confidence is sort of the icing on the top, who knows?
Doesn't sound like Jack Watts is going to play next week. It's still a big question mark.
Ginger, didn't he?
What was it, a hammy?
Yeah. And Jones. Nathan Jones hasn't had many injuries like that.
Groin?
He's done a bit of a quad-ish thing, I think. Yeah. Quad-ish area.
Yes.
Upper leg.
Right.
How did you report it on the boundary?
I said it was a right groin, yep.
Yeah.
And Jaden Hunt's shoulder. But the big one out of that was Lynn John.
Yeah, it was. It was.
Already knows what heartache is about, missing the flag. Mm. Looks like the worst.
It wasn't the only pain for the Bulldogs, though, was it? And a lot of talk in the discussion about, is it a premiership hangover? Well, look, it's probably a lot of things, isn't it? I mean, there's no doubt that history says that they're bloody hard to win two in a row.
Mm.
And what the Dogs did last year was amazing. It's one of the great footy stories. So I suspect there is an element of the hangover, or whether that... I'm not even sure that's the right term for
it.
No,
that's exactly what it is. And the good thing with a hangover is that
is
by midday you can start to feel better. And, you know, they're still ninth, but that's what I was saying about that second quarter. They played with that manic style that they did week in, week out, particularly in the finals last year. I think we can't rule them out, but we're concerned.
Yeah, well, let's have a listen, first of all, to Luke Beveridge and the whole question about whether it comes down to attitude or not.
Definitely not an attitudinal issue or an application issue. It's the nature of the last two losses that are really concerning. So I can understand the external commentary.
Do you think that having a settled lineup would help? Is that something that you have to consider after a performance like that, to stick with a settled lineup and just see how they go rather than changing it up?
Do you realise the question you've just asked me? What does a settled lineup relate to?
In terms of any mindset issues or any...
I've just said that there isn't any mindset issues.
A lack of self-belief or confidence.
Yeah, so we need to continue to find our best 22, but it has been a mixture of injury and and form. So it's hard to settle when you are losing players through injury at different times.
So he's being tested now, Bevo. He's starting to get a little bit testy with some of the questions. Obviously, he's defensive of the fact that it's, you know, whether it's attitudinal or not. He doesn't think it is. But, I guess it goes back to the whole, when you're talking about premiership hangovers, it goes back to the whole preparation, doesn't it, from the moment they won the flag. And no one is going to begrudge that club for, you know, celebrating what they achieved. But
But
now it's gone into this year and it's a different year, and that's just the reality. We all know the storyline of what they did. It was incredible. They played so well at that period of the year, but they've definitely got some playing issues at the moment, haven't they?
Yeah, definitely. And they obviously had to basically revamp their entire pre-season program because they weren't used to finishing so late. Mm. Obviously haven't had success for, you know, such a long time, but I feel like he would be getting a bit frustrated just because, particularly over the last probably 6 weeks or so, they've just completely moved away from, as you said before, Mick, apart from the first half yesterday, completely moved away from what got them there last year. And, you know, we saw them run over the Saints a few weeks ago and there were sort of signs there and people saying that that was the best performance of the year. But I don't know what he does now. Do you,
well, he's
do, you
a genius.
Do the trip to the cinema this week or the go-karting or the, you know, something
I'm
a little
sure
bit different?
In his 12 years as a coach, he's had teams, you know, at any level that have been down for whatever, but they do look satisfied, unfortunately. Stringer looks a problem, Hutto.
Mm, he does. I mean, there's got a number of players. I think
the
Bont has started the year really well and hasn't. I mean, he's still playing pretty well, but he's certainly not at
he
that.
He was talked about as the best player in the comp.
Yeah,
eight weeks ago.
He's a fair way off that at the moment. Yeah, Liam Pickens not having the same impact he had last year. Their forward line is still a massive problem as to how to kick goals. Tom Boyd was great in the grand final and he's been okay this year, but he's certainly not a source of goals. You know, Ruffhead missed a lot of footy, has come back and he's sort of been okay. But that's what they are at the moment. They're just an okay team around about the middle. They are no guarantee of playing finals footy. I think the selection thing, which I think we've all, and I've been one who's lauded the idea of the integrity around selection. If you play well, you go in. If you're poor, you go out. There's no doubt that some of the consequences of that is players have that instability. They don't know they're going to be in the team or not, and that can work for you, but when confidence is, it can become an issue, and I think that's probably an issue right now.
Well, they've got North Melbourne this week, so it's a good chance to get some positive energy back.
All right.
North were very ordinary on the weekend.
So this will lead into is it just me, which is it just me or is it impossible to try and predict the eight? But just before we do that, will the Bulldogs make the eight is my question.
Yes, they will.
Yes, I think they'll just sneak in.
Okay, all right. Well, time for Is It Just Me? So Is It Just Me? As I said regarding the eight, is it just me or is it a waste of time to try and predict the eight? But I think we should do it anyway. That makes no sense, I know. I know we've got a ladder predictor online that people can use to help do it, but it's just crazy, isn't it, the logjam? You have to go all the way down. If you discount Gold Coast and Carlton...
You can't discount Carlton.
Well,
they might beat Richmond in front of 80,000 this week, and then they are... Where are they? They're in the eight. No, they'd be just out. Yes, no, Essendon on 24.
Okay, so you go down to 15th then. With Carlton's percentage of 82 makes it... Mm. It's pretty unlikely. And I even think the Swans are going to battle, but their percentage is much higher. So they're effectively a game above all those other teams behind them. They're only a game out of the eight as it stands. It's incredible, isn't it?
Yeah, well, that's what we want.
So who do we think is in and who do we think is out?
Sydney and the Dogs will get in, I think.
Yeah, I reckon you're right. Maybe Collingwood ninth. I know we spoke a bit about it last week and about what that means for Bucks. But, yeah, you'd have to think Sydney, I think they've got a pretty promising run home from memory. And we've looked at, obviously, every team has its merits in today's paper and online. Sydney, they've got to defy a lot of history to go all the way and win the flag. But I reckon, yeah, they're hitting their straps, particularly over the last month.
Yeah, I'm not sure it's going to actually change. I think Essendon is
vulnerable.
They're hit and miss, vulnerable. West Coast play enough games at home.
Vulnerable, though.
Tigers are vulnerable.
Yes, they are.
I hate to say it, Mick, and we'll get to them in a moment. But, it's fascinating to try and work out what on earth is going to happen. And that is just the charm of the season, isn't it?
And why I subtly read, if you can read something subtly, that the wild card idea's been dropped.
Mm.
Was probably never an idea.
I think it may have been overly enthusiastically reported by Gill himself on what the other clubs have said. I'm not sure there was quite the enthusiasm of the clubs that that Gill reported.
I thought he said there was overwhelming support in that meeting.
I guess it depends on how big your survey is, doesn't it? But anyway, survey says...
Have you had that dinner with the coaches yet? It must be coming up.
Yeah, I think it might have been late in the week or potentially last week.
Last week. Oh, I think it's this week.
Maybe this week.
Yeah.
You've been invited, Mick?
No. No, have you?
No.
Well, I'm not a coach.
The menu always gets reported too, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's probably the most interesting thing. Mick, what's your Is It Just Me? We'll go next with Loz.
Okay. Yeah, my Is It Just Me or is the jumper punching rule changes. Has this been the making of the defensive niggle?
The niggle?
It was back massively on the weekend. I went and watched St Kilda beat North Melbourne on Friday night, and Declan Mountford was right into Jack Stephen. Every contest, he was right there with him, just touching him on the arm, just a little bit of an elbow. We saw Gary Ablett was the same on Saturday night. Basically, every Carlton player went to him at some stage, bit of a bump on the way through, bit of a push down in a tackle. And obviously, as we've seen, the jumper punch is gone.
You can't retaliate.
Exactly. And
Scotty Thompson did it to...
Oh, he'll always find a way.
Yeah. And Jordan Roughhead, we saw retaliate at one point yesterday and was immediately told by an umpire, you did that.
Yeah.
You created that. So gone and the niggle's back.
Yeah, so the niggle's back. And that's interesting that you talked the umpire there. The whole issue around staging is still... like Alex Rance on the weekend.
It'd be a bit stiff if he was the first player ever done for staging. I would have thought.
But surely a warning now has to go out somehow about this because...
Who knows?
I mean, it's really hard. I mean, the Eastern Wood free kick, I mean, but that was... Bug did it first and then he got him back. I mean, I know that's gone on for centuries, the retaliator getting in trouble, but you shouldn't be rewarded for going down like a sack of spuds.
No, you shouldn't. That's a soccer thing.
Well, just shouldn't happen. Mick, what's your... Is it just me
or did Brendan Gale up the ante in the Dustin Martin standoff deliberately on radio on the weekend? Let's have a listen to what he had to say.
On the ABC.
Probably approaching that time where we'd like to get a sense of, you know, where their heads are at, because we do have to plan. Salary cap and other players, so I guess we're approaching that point. The other thing is a restricted free agent too, Jared, so we've always got the right to match any sort of offer. So I guess we do have that in the background, and but I'm fairly confident it won't come to that. It's not an ideal scenario, and it's probably uncomfortable for our fans who, you know, obviously, you know, love the guy and he's very important to our footy club, but, you know, all I can say is we're very confident the people we've got looking after it and very confident in our position, and I'm sure it'll be resolved in due course.
So he kind of softened it there at the end, but you think what he said was enough there to say that he is upping the ante?
I think it was a deliberate strategy when you're asked to go on radio. We had Peggy O'Neill in the other box. Sadly, she didn't go with that. But
maybe it was in the questioning, Mick.
Maybe. He could have gone in there and just batted that away. I
thought Jared was outstanding at that interview.
And Jared was able to get out of him that... You know, there's a little bit of disquiet about the fact that they're being kept in the dark.
So
and
then
it went up another level when I think Mark Stevens was on telly the next morning and basically said that he'd spoken to the manager, or implied that the manager had said that he was speaking to two clubs about Dusty over the weekend, which I thought was even more provocative.
Yeah, one Friday, one Saturday, from all reports, two Melbourne clubs.
Well, there you go. So that's...
How do you define talking to other clubs, though? I mean, you know.
Well, hey. Pick up the phone and say 1.3 for Dusty.
So what's changed,
but,
you know?
I know, but it's just getting to that uncomfortable stage.
Where is the uncomfortable stage?
I think they are entitled to an indication, aren't they? What are they waiting for?
Well, it's
unless he's done a deal and he's gone. And
it sounds like they're standing firm, though. I saw him speaking again last week, and, of course, you feel for Benny in this situation because everywhere he appears, he just gets asked about Dustin Martin no matter what he's there to talk about. But... they're not going to budge, are they?
No, but imagine if he left. How would that leave the Richmond administration?
Well, what about their performance on the field on the weekend?
Great up till half-time. I thought Shea Bolton was Cyril Rioli.
He was
dominating, kicked two.
Yeah.
And then he ran out of legs and so did a lot of them.
They did appear to tire. It's an exhaustive game the way footy's being played at the moment. The players are asked to do so much running.
Kicking straight for goal would help too.
Oh, well, again,
Nan
in the end...
Curvis, Castagna.
Nan Curvis... probably, you know, it cost you...
It did.
...not taking those opportunities. The entries into the 50, and that...
That's exactly what I was just about to say. So many times they're in there.
Yeah, and that brings about... It's the same... This is a really interesting discussion about the way the game's being played at the moment. We see it with the Bulldogs. Collingwood at the moment are getting away with one key forward pretty much. You know, Richmond have sort of been the poster boy for it. And if you're putting the pressure on and you're moving the ball quickly, then you can get away with it. But when they got into that situation on the weekend where they started bombing it, they just, like you talk about Jay Bolton, two or three times he was outmarked in the air. They can't afford to let that happen. So it's really interesting to see what happens, whether they do try and bring a second tall back.
Who is it?
Well, they don't have one at the moment, do they? But by the end of the year. And then at the end of the year, whether they go after a Kurt Tippett or a Sam Reed or a Levi Casbolt.
Someone suggested upstairs that they could put Asprey forward this week, but...
The swing men have worked for other sides, haven't they?
Well, Dimmer tried Rance on ball, remember, once. It lasted about 20 minutes at the start of the game.
Once, I think, is the operative word in that sentence.
I'm biased, but how good is Rance?
No, he's great.
He is great. But what do they do now? Like, we've talked a lot about their close losses throughout the season.
Well, let's have a listen to Damien Hardwick, and then a quick comment from Spud Frawley on SEN, the former Richmond coach, talking about the raving, how people have been rating Damien so highly and the coach of the year. But what he's talking about here is the style they play, which leaves other teams in the game.
We're very competitive. We'll keep the games close. We're not going to win games by 10 goals. We're not going to lose games, hopefully, by 10 goals either. It's always going to be an arm wrestle. You know, you look at the case in point, the Bulldogs last year, we're probably similar in nature. You know, we're probably undersized up forward, so we compete really hard. And that's what's going to win us games, and it's what's going to keep us close in games as well. And sometimes you're going to go, you're going to keep your head above water, and sometimes you're going to go under.
Every coach in the competition would love to play Richmond in a final at the moment because their mental disintegration, and I don't know why they said Damien Hardwick, and he's done an outstanding job this year, but the facts remain, you are in any game you play against Richmond. And if I'm a coach, I would love to play Richmond in a final because we're 4 goals down, we're 5 goals down. If you bring heat and real heat and pack it in and give it to them, they will disintegrate under pressure, as we saw yesterday.
So Mick, as our resident Richmond, is the way they're playing, does it, Spub was talking about finals and that style of footy not holding up in finals and the pressure that's there. Do you agree with that or not?
Well, I don't know so much about the style, but you're certainly right about the mental disintegration, because that's 5 games that, you know, they've been in that they've lost, and the more it perpetuates, doesn't it? So, yeah, it was a fair point from Spud.
Well, there was that on the weekend. It was the only real, I mean, there was the missed shots, but that last bit of play where they caddy brought it out to the wings or kicked it high to Rioli, like it just, that was a bit of a mess. They really had to go straight down and just.
That had been the theme of the whole quarter, though. Couldn't get it through.
Yeah, no, it had.
Good play from Sydney.
Yeah. All right. Well, yeah, the Swans, so, I mean, that was a massive win for them. And the players talked about it being one of the greatest wins they'd ever been associated with.
Really?
Which was interesting how great they thought it was. So it'll be interesting to see from here what it actually means for the Sydney Swans and what they can do. But
good to see Kieran Jack too. Yeah. He's almost gone. Kick that goal.
You would have been really happy when he kicked that goal.
No, I wasn't.
All right. Time to go back, sort of. It's time for Be Kind Rewind.
So my Be Kind Rewind is going to the AFL. I mentioned I was at that St Kilda North Melbourne game on Friday night, and I tell you what, I reckon if they had their time again, they would have fixtured this round a little bit differently. Mm-hmm. Obviously,
how so?
Both sides don't get many Friday night games, and I think in these situations, if you've got them, you've got to make the most of them. Only 26,000 turned out, both to see North in what was potentially a winnable game for them, and also to farewell Boomer Harvey and to see his jumper unveiled above an empty level 4.
Hadn't had enough of those Boomer celebrations last year, had we?
He's, you know, most games played of all time.
Those things don't. I just don't think those
recognising champs.
Yeah, no, me too. I just don't think those things barely work, I reckon, when you try.
In terms of bringing people.
But even then, you sort
and
of...
do the darn thing at half time. Don't try to do it before the game. There's no one there. It's sort of embarrassing.
People now know to get there 10 minutes before the game.
Yeah, the cars had to go in front of the TV commentators. Anyway. But second lowest ratings on the television as well for the year, only just beat Adelaide and St Kilda, I believe. So,
well, it was a
shocking
day.
In hindsight, would you put Richmond and Sydney on Friday night?
Yep. No, you would. Absolutely, you would. Look, I know St Kilda's supporters probably didn't care, but it was a terrible game.
It wasn't great.
But we were sort of laughing at one stage. Oh, yeah. And that's what happens when you're calling. It's a part of this Thursday night stuff, though, isn't it? Like, the spreading out of footy so that every game is basically standalone. It's great when the games are great, but when the games are no good,
by half time,
you're turning it. If you're at home, you're turning it over.
brings me to my Beacon rewind.
They actually were turning it over a lot on the ground.
Which was whether one of those viewers that you referred to switching off was Josh Kelly himself in the Josh Kelly Cup. Mm. They don't really do themselves any favours, those two sides. And Carlton, who we know at the other club, had a great win. So
yeah,
is it all about the money, or is it, is it the cash, or is it a bit of both?
Do you think all the clubs will be roughly on the same money, or North will be significantly higher?
Sounds like.
Or in length as well.
North, and we had Ben Buckley on over the weekend, and he was.
How was the questioning there?
A lot better. Right. A lot better. He pretty much confirmed the 9 years and that it was Martin and Kelly, and that they've got. He doesn't think it's irresponsible to go 9 years in extreme circumstances. So, but would he want to go there? I don't know. But
well, it sort of fluctuates each week, doesn't it? Like 2 or 3 weeks ago, you're going, oh, North aren't as bad as they were, and then St Kilda are no good. Right.
Yeah, it's that season, isn't it?
Carlton having their little bit at the moment.
Yeah. Well, I've got one other Beacon. Okay. Oh, just Laurie Oakes. No, I didn't. Yeah. I just
didn't like that.
Well, do you?
No, nah, it's weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, to not be there.
Deliberately not go.
Yeah.
Is that why he didn't go?
Yeah, that's why. So he could put it on. He hates the fact that it's off the record.
Yeah. So I think they're hunting who supplied him with it at the moment.
Who do you think that was?
Do you think it was good for Malcolm? I reckon it was actually good for Malcolm.
Yeah, I reckon it was.
Maybe not in America. Maybe he hasn't played out so well with Donald.
I did hear someone from the press office over there was saying, oh, we understand it was, you know, it was in jest and it was all in good faith, but whether Donald sees it the same.
No. I don't think he's got a sense of humour about his own issues. But anyway, come on,
so you, before I go with mine, you led us into the discussion about Carlton, so why don't we stay with that?
Yeah.
Some great stories about the way they're playing and the players that are doing so well, Bryce Gibbs being one of them. And it raises the question, doesn't it, about Adelaide, about whether they should have gone harder for Bryce Gibbs, taken what was on offer to get him, or and now does he stay? I mean, my understanding of it is it's about 50-50 at the moment about...
Well, elaborate on that, my understanding.
Well, that's about where I think, you know, he's been pretty settled at Carlton. I think the family situation is okay. But, yeah, this is only you know, hearsay, so I don't know.
Sounds like you do.
No. But, it's going to be interesting at the end of the year, isn't it?
Well, right, to see if they go again.
To see if they go again whether Bryce and the situation they're in means that he wants to go home or not, so... And, you know, what promise does he see in Carlton? I know it was purely a personal reason he wanted to go home, but gets to the end of the year and if Carlton keep progressing, that can only help the case for staying, I would have thought.
Yeah, definitely. It's always an interesting one, isn't it? Because 6 months is a long time since then, and he made it clear at the time, as you said, that it wasn't anything to do with footy. Mm. But the shoots, your favourite shoots.
The shoots, yeah, but they should have done the deal when they had the opportunity.
And it was for picks last time, wasn't it?
First and second round pick. It was a massive, and they were saying it wasn't enough. What did they want from him?
So you think Carlton should
do it? And they should do it this year too, I think, and get two more kids in. I mean, look, Carlton's development has been a lot quicker than I thought, but they are still 15th on the ladder, and will Gibbs be in their next... Though Lee Matthews said he hates that more than anything, is he in our next premiership team comment?
Well, so you would have a lot of Bulldogs you would have probably got rid of if you were going to go down that path.
Yeah.
You just never know when the next premiership's coming. But I agree, I think they probably should have done the deal.
Yeah.
But now you've got Carlton playing, you know, really intelligent footy under Brendan Bolton.
And gee, he was good too, Bryce, wasn't he, on Saturday night? What was it, 43. A couple of goals as well.
Record number of Super Coach points, wasn't it, or something?
I'll tell you what's a good trade. Pick 33 for Sam Doherty 4 years ago.
Well, is there any danger that the opposition will put any time into Carlton?
Into Carlton.
Well, into Doherty and Simpson and the way they play. Mm. I mean, seriously. They even the numbers up a bit. And it's a bit hard to tell on TV, but it seemed like they evened the numbers up a bit and restricted them in the second half. And can you believe it? It was actually much better. It worked much better for the Gold Coast. But, yeah, so not a good night for Rocket, though. Those sort of wins, losses really hurt his case, unfortunately, as far as next year's concerned. I'll come back to my, is it just me, my Beacon Rewind now?
Come back to it.
Well, I'm coming back to it now. Okay. Four umpires. The experiment with four umpires.
Yeah.
I've actually got no problem with them trying it. I think it was worth trying to see what it created, but I don't think it's worked. I think it's created two umpires looking at the same passage of play, one seeing it from one angle, one from another, and one giving one decision and one giving another.
Yeah, saw a lot of it over the weekend, and umpires from fair way away as well, which is, you know, frustrating for everyone when you're watching a game. The old-fashioned, how did you see that from there when there's an umpire really close? It's worth trialling.
Yeah, it was, but, yeah.
I think I can't comment on disgraceful umpire.
Thank you, Alistair. I think the only positive that I see out of it is that it does, they do get a few of those blocks that are put on just to impede the defender. And there was a couple of times that happened on the weekend and they were there. So they do spot those. But I think in general, it just underlines how hard it is to umpire our game. And we've just got to suck it up with the one umpire and the view they have at that time. One umpire making a call most of the time. So speaking of judiciaries and so forth, what's our views on the MRP, which may or may not have come out by the time people are listening?
Yeah, it's an issue. Buddy Franklin's the one, isn't it, that's really sort of
divided people.
If he didn't get him in the head, he should get off.
I think it'll be a fine. I mean, based on the table, that all we can...
But if it would just be a bump if it was the body, if there was no head involved. I think you'll get off.
What about Shuey?
I think you'll get a fine.
Okay.
Yeah, apparently the 5 metres within the ball means that it can't be intentional, it's careless.
Yeah, that's going to be the interesting one where they're
how they rule it. Your brain that gets rattled around in your head does not know that the bump was 5 metres near the ball, does it?
No.
So if we're protecting the head, why do we care about... But anyway...
What about Joel Selwood and Mitchell?
Nah.
No? Not enough?
Wouldn't have thought so.
Okay.
But they don't like each other.
No.
That's pretty clear.
Now, one of the other games on the weekend...
Who's the better player out of those two?
Selwood and Mitchell.
Mm.
Well, it's Selwood now, but who's had a better career?
That's what I meant.
Premierships and a Brownlow.
Pretty close.
Totally different players, aren't they?
I'll go in the Hall of Fame on the same night. Mm.
Yeah, I think you could be right.
You're going to the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, I am. That's Robbo's plus you're one. Going got in the back door there.
All right, excellent.
You go?
I'm going. No, we're working here. I'm working with Rob, actually. We're actually doing the whole night live, which is great. I think it'll be a really terrific night over at the Adelaide Oval, which will be a great venue for it. So I'm looking forward to that. We'll do a live podcast from there.
Great city.
No, we won't. Speaking of Adelaide and Port Adelaide, who have snuck back to fourth in the ladder, by the way, with that not overly convincing win over Brisbane, but doing enough. But off the field, there's a change there with...
Berger. Yeah, Darren Burgess poached by Arsenal during the week. He
came from the Premier League.
Liverpool.
Did he? Yeah.
Well, he'd been at Port as well.
Yeah.
So he's Dave Butterfin. Is he the manhunter?
I don't know. Mick?
Well, he trained up the Essendon boys, did he not, when they were
wanted to, I think.
No, I think he did do some. Didn't do it with Mick, so I think it just came down a little bit in salary as to what he got for it.
But
what are they? Do you know how disruptive. Much? Do you know how much they earn?
Yeah, Doc Larkin's told us this. That they earn
fitness bosses
$700,000 a year. Some of these guys,
wow,
just to get you to surge from one cone to the other, then slow down and run again, and over $1 million in the EPL, which is what he'll pick up. So
handy move for him then.
And $400,000 the average wage of these guys. So what are we doing?
We're in the wrong trade, that's for sure, aren't we?
Better go back to school, right? Do those PE classes again. Let's look ahead to the round. And can you believe it? It's a full round of matches. How do we cope with that?
It's quite overwhelming.
There is still a Thursday night.
I hate Thursday night football.
Yeah, I think we've probably just about had enough of it.
Look at it. It's a blockbuster.
Well, you would have thought it would have been at the start of the year, wouldn't you, Adelaide and Hawthorn? Do they go to town on the Hawks in this one?
I think, yeah.
I'm not sure I can ask you anymore, Lauren.
Well,
tell our listeners how many tips you got on the weekend. On top of the ladder, tipping ladder.
I'm not going to tell them how many it was, but it was between 0 and 2. So, it was a great weekend of tipping, but I feel like there's a few people that will sympathise with me there, but... Yeah, so Chris Kavanagh is now
Black
equal
Kavanagh
at the top. Yes, yeah. Our very own Black Kavanagh. And Mick's, nipping at our heels, another one tip behind. So.
How many did you get on the weekend?
3.
Wow.
Yes. But look, I think Adelaide Hawthorn, there's going to be a bit of silver chair, pure massacre.
Oh, look at you.
Mm. Can you sing us a little bit of that?
Pure massacre.
Yes, I think Crows, no question.
SCG, Friday Night Football, Sydney versus Essendon.
The question is, what course are you going to play that day in Sydney?
Hopefully the lakes.
Anyone's out there?
Hopefully the lakes, but if not, it'll be Moore Park, just a little 9 holes around Moore Park.
It's a really nice little nine-holer at Bondi.
Is there? Well, that on sounds
the
cliffs.
It's pretty good fun.
Go over the Bondi billionaires. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Buddy might be up for a quick round of nine on the day of the match, I'm sure. Sydney win that then?
I think so, yeah. Sure. I was talking before about the form that they're in at the moment. They're top of the form ladder, I think, since round seven. Our champion data friends tell us they're number one in basically every area. So while Essendon obviously hit their straps against Port the week prior, I reckon Sydney at home. Can't go past them.
Pies and Port?
One of the toughest of the round, Port, isn't it? I'll go Collingwood then, just to keep it interesting.
Okay. Yeah, I'll go for the Pies. Lions and the Giants. It should be a... even though the Lions are playing better footy, you'd think the Giants would win that one.
Yep. I like the Lions' signs, though.
Good signs, yeah. Mm-hmm. That Hipwood goal was great.
Oh, now he is...
exciting.
Is he the next Buddy Franklin?
Oh.
He is very exciting.
He's very good.
I hear it.
How good was Buddy
I
when
I hear he
could
be going to Geelong, actually.
Oh, please.
The dogs and North. Surely the Doggies win that one.
Yeah, I said last week they're going to be their last chance, but yeah, I'll go the Dogs again.
Yep, Dogs.
Eagles, D's. This is a cracker.
This is a cracker because it's over there, isn't it, Perth?
Yep.
Oh, I still reckon the D's are up and about. I spoke about their confidence earlier. I'm going D's.
Is Josh Kennedy back?
I think he's a chance.
Yeah. Well, if he plays, they win.
Well, we do our tips before the teams. That's why we keep it interesting.
Just reminds me, one curious thing for me is why Luke Beveridge said last night post-match that Bob Murphy will be back next week, when clearly he won't be.
Hang on.
Well, Bob Murphy himself said he's still at least 2 weeks away, so before the game. So I thought that was strange. Cats and Dockers.
Oh, this would be Silverchair Mark II.
Mark II, yes.
All right.
All about the Cats.
Tigers and Blues.
Oh, no.
Cracking game.
This reminds me of that Andy Marr commentary when Judd! Nick Dygan kicked four. Yeah. Oh, they didn't even make the eight that year.
Yeah. They still beat you in the final. Yep. Explain that to your grandkids.
80,000 they'll get.
Yeah, I reckon they will. Should be a nice day. Tigers.
All right. And the Saints and Suns. Saints are back.
Sort of. Yeah, it wasn't all that convincing from either team, but I'm going to go for the Saints.
G. Ablett's 300th.
Oh, actually, I forgot about that.
Is that a fact? I don't think it is, but G, not many bad ones.
Yeah, and it'll be...
what's his best ever game, Hutto? You would have watched it, certainly for Geelong. Anyway.
No, his best ever games have probably been for Gold Coast, really, I would have thought.
Really?
I think so. It's just some of those games where he... just absolutely dominated.
Was his toe poke? No, Scarlett's toe poke. That kick, that's probably favourite.
Yeah, it's right up there. And I think for the Suns, Jared Harbrow been missing those last 2 weeks. He's a very important player for them. And hopefully, I'm not sure where he took Miller is. He seems to have just disappeared completely.
Yeah, he's back.
So if he comes back into the team, I think that's two important players.
And Barlow, what a cruel blow.
Yeah, it's cruel. It's a cruel game, isn't it?
Second time.
We wish him all the best.
You better go because you've got golf.
Well, it's not golf. I've actually got other work, but can't say too much at this stage. It could be a... No. Rival podcast.
Oh.
It's not. I'm joking. Not that funny. But hopefully...
Sam Edmonds one.
No, I don't think I'll be on the cycle. How am I going? Cycle podcast.
Yes.
What's it called?
Sammy's going to the tour.
Is he really?
Yes, to cover it for us.
He used to be on this podcast, didn't he, Sammy? Yeah, before he left us. Started his own. Thanks, Loz. Good luck this week.
Thank you.
You're tipping. You need
it.
Mick, go Tigers. Yeah. Thanks, everyone, for being with us on the Super Footy podcast. Make sure you subscribe and leave us a review if you can, if it's nice, on iTunes to hear the latest episodes. Of course, you can go to iTunes. Don't forget to follow at Super Footy on Twitter and use the hashtag SFPod to get involved with comments or questions ahead of the next episode. Have a great weekend, everyone, and week.
Lowe's knows how to get you ready for holiday hosting with up to 35% off select home decor. And get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, members get free delivery, haul away, basic installation, parts, and a 2-year Lowe's protection plan when you spend $2,500 or more on select LG major appliances. Valid through 10-1. Member offer excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, and Florida. Installed by independent contractors. Exclusions apply. See Lowe's.com for more details.